This recording, New York 25, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Shore near the Duke Street Tower. The area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot-and-mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, the itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Kama, Kama, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Kama was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Kama and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. It's kind of an interesting place. There's a nice, rich area of the village, and then there's a pretty lower class area, and everyone goes to the same school. So it's kind of unique to Long Island, where it's not a whole bunch of rich white kids. So water was a big one. Water, and I still can't say golf the right way. I like to go golfing. And then coffee. And then orange instead of orange. That was a big one. Long Island, it's all O-W's. Mm-hmm. So I think those were the big words, mm-hmm. I guess. And then talking too fast. That was one of the things. There's someone at my school right now who, it's not so much happy people, it's someone who has to add to every conversation with what happened in their own life. Like, so I guess that pisses me off. And I like movies. If I wasn't doing med school, I would do film school. My favorite movie is Jurassic Park. I don't know if that's necessarily the best movie ever made, but that's my favorite. I think one of my favorites that I think is also really good is Life is Beautiful. I think that was probably the first, it's kind of the Star Wars from my generation, so that was like the first time that I had gone to a movie and was completely in awe and thought that I was going to get eaten by a dinosaur. And I think I love Steven Spielberg in general. I like that he can take like small things and make them into big events, like just the idea of that stupid car coming down the tree was a huge set piece. And if you thought about that before you made the movie, you wouldn't think that they would make a whole scene out of that. So I thought that was kind of cool. Hmm. Things like that. It was the first movie that I cried for like 3 days because I didn't really know about the Holocaust when it came out. So that's like when I learned about that. And I don't know. It's interesting how you can find beauty in the most horrible situation, I guess. So it was like very thoughtful. My mom was born in the Bronx and my dad was born in Jersey, but they moved to Long Island. My dad moved to Levittown actually very early. And my mom, I think, moved to Long Island when she was like 11 or 12. So I may not even be Italian. My grandpa was adopted, and they think he's Italian. And my grandma was German, but both her parents died when she was very young, and she was raised by the Italians in the Bronx. So we have a very Italian heritage, even though we might not actually be Italian at all. So it's kind of interesting. But that's like the most, where I would say most of our culture comes from, is the Italian side. And then my dad's side is Irish-German, but it's not really...